reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you would hand your son a stone if he asked for a loaf of bread, or a snake when he asked for a fish? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give your children good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Do to others what you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel.
Lent is a time in which we reground ourselves as we're supposed to be living 365 days a year. And the single most important thing we can do in human life is to pray. That allows us to put our relationship with the Lord on its real foundation, which means with a total dependence on God, total gratitude for all that he's given, putting him first, making the time for him, forgetting that we're God's, forgetting that all the other things we think we really have to do is somehow more important than giving the Lord his due. And we see the power of prayer in today's readings. The first reading, Esther, the queen, praying for her people, turning to the Lord, begging for his help to save them from genocide there in Babylon. And in the gospel today, Jesus gives us unbelievable promises. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. If this guarantee didn't come from the Lord, it would be too good to be true. We would think it would be coming from a salesman who can't back up his promises. But Jesus meant these words in order to inspire us precisely to pray. But we're called, as he would say elsewhere in the gospel, to pray in his name, to ask for what he himself would ask for. He gives the analogy, would you hand your son a stone if he asked for a loaf of bread? That goes back to this Sunday's gospel where there in the desert, a lot of the stones actually looked like loaves of bread. So you wouldn't give a substitute. Would you hand yourself, your son, a fish if he asked for a snake? The fish that they were probably talking about were the eels that would swim in the Sea of Galilee that did look like snakes. So it wasn't, you'll give some type of fake substitute, some type of thing that looked like it to fake your child out, but really be a counterfeit. God would never do that, is what he's saying. But Jesus doesn't ask the legitimate question, well, what if your son asked you for a loaf of bread, or asked for you for a snake, or asked for a dagger, or asked for a loaded gun, or asks you for a drink of potassium cyanide? Just like we would never give our kids any of that bad stuff, so our Heavenly Father will never give us anything that will harm us, even if we ask for it in prayer. He loves us too much to spoil us to our own detriment. All of this is useful to understand the great feast we celebrate today of St. Patrick. I have to admit, growing up as a French Canadian in the city of Lowell, where ethnic fights, literally brawls among kids, were fierce, and every March 17th, we French Canadians would dress in blue and look to beat up the kids dressed in green. So there's not all that much of a glorious childhood I have with the feast day of St. Patrick. But as I matured, I grew really to love the saint, and he's now one of my favorites. And one of the prayers that I pray every time, which I'm thrilled that we're now singing here at St. Anthony's, was the prayer being sung actually as the hands were laid upon my head to ordain me a deacon at St. Peter's in Rome, to bind unto myself the Lord. And what we see St. Patrick doing in his prayer, which he would pray every morning as he got ready, links both of these readings. What did Queen Esther do? She lay prostrate on the ground from morning until evening. And how did she begin her prayer? God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, blessed are you, starts by remembering that she was in a relationship of a covenant with God, and then started to retrace all of salvation history, all God had already done. That just gives her extra confidence to put out into the deep and ask for what she really needed in that moment. God's not some arbitrary person to whom we need to grovel, who doesn't already love us, but God has entered into a covenant of love with us, and she started there. What did St. Patrick do in his great Lorica? I bind myself today to the strong name of the Trinity, and he describes who the Trinity is. Then, salvation history. I bind this to me forever by power of Christ's incarnation, his baptism, his death on the cross. Starts to bind into himself all of salvation history in the church. Confessor's faith, apostle's word, the patriarch's prayers, the prophet's scroll, all good deeds done unto the Lord, purity of virgin soul, that's all becoming part of the substrate of his prayer. Then he goes on, I bind to myself today the virtues of the starlit heaven, glorious sun's life-giving ray, the whiteness of the moon, the flashing of the lightning, the whirling of thunderstorms, the stable earth, the salt sea, the eternal rocks. He's binding to himself all the creation, which is a gift, and he's just getting warmed up. I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead, God's eyes to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need. He's making it his own, the wisdom of my God to teach, his hand to guide, a shield to ward, the word of God to give me speech, his heavenly host to be my guard. And then he says, Christ be all around me. Christ totally subsume me. Christ envelop me. Christ be with me, within me, behind me, before me, beside me, win me, comfort, restore me. Be beneath me, above me, in quiet and danger, in hearts of all who love me, in mouth of friend and stranger. And then he finishes by binding unto himself the name of the Trinity, by invoking that name in which all creation has its basis. Praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord. What an unbelievable lesson of prayer. Before he even got to what he was going to ask for, he was going to bind himself to the name of the Lord so that he could pray in the name of the Lord. And he was going to remember all that the Lord had already done, all the Lord's unbelievable blessings, be grateful, enter into them, and then ask for what he needed to in his battles against the Druids, in his prayers for his family, and his prayers for those who had been outside of the revelation of God up until that point. What do we learn? To pray in the name of the Lord, to be grateful for all of salvation history, to know that we're already in this great covenant of love, but also to begin by thanksgiving and praise. Before we ever get to petition, before we ever get to prayers for sorrow, we must remember who God really is, that he is awesome, that he is so generous. When we start there by praising the Lord and thanking, we now have the proper scaffolding in which to ask our other prayers. Today, as we come forward on this great feast day, let us ask the great apostle of Ireland to intercede for us, that we might learn how to pray as he did, with the same passion he did, so that we might live in communion with the Lord with the same passion for which St. Patrick is still famous 1,650 years after his death today.